And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast with Davey Rispin and Mickey Brennan. Davey, when we were chatting about this podcast during the week, we were like going, God, there won't be much to talk about. Like, what's going to be going on and whatever? Well, Jesus Christ, when we sat down to do our little bit of research and stuff for this podcast, we realised there's an awful amount of stuff to get through here this week. It's flat to the mat now. Everything's back.
Yeah. Just a crazy week, really, and it's only going to get busier as we could see from the fixtures that lie in wait in the coming weeks. But it's brilliant, Mickey. It's absolutely fantastic, you know. And then in February we'll have our club football back too, so plenty of inter-county football to come over the next few weeks, and club football then to recommence in about a month's time. So it's brilliant.
Yeah, and ahead of the clubs taking the field, we might revisit our managerial merry-go-round and just give our listeners an update on that, and hopefully every club is sorted by then. There are maybe one or two clubs that still haven't managed to find a manager but are working hard at the minute to sort that out. Davey, I suppose the only place to start this week is with the ladies. They had, obviously under new management, Shane McCormack, the new Meath manager, and they had a daunting task of heading over to Mayo in their first round clash. It wasn't, on paper, not a nice fixture to get, Davey, but they came away with a victory, 2-18 to Mayo's 1-15. When was the last time that Meath scored two goals and 18 points, Davey?
It's a good question. I'm thinking back to maybe the intermediate quarterfinal or semi-final maybe, which is a good few years ago now. So then I suppose then in the early stages of the All-Ireland series, they came through a few easy enough games in the past, but I'm still not sure they put up that kind of score. So, unbelievable. I don't think at the start of the day on Sunday you would have believed that score 2-18 when the game proved. The game was meant to be in Ballinac. Home was obviously fantastic additions, and Meath made best use of them. Obviously played some terrific football, and on a day where Shane McCormack made his bow as Meath manager, and on a day where it was a much changed Meath team, I think you'd have to be absolutely thrilled with that sort of performance and result.
Yeah, you really would. And just for our listeners, to let them know, we are recording in the middle of Storm Isha, so Davey's internet out there in Cortain might go in and out a couple of times, but we'll try and keep it as best we can. But we missed a little bit of that, Davey, but I think our listeners got the gist of it. Yeah, a much changed Meath team, obviously new management and the whole lot. And the game, as you said, changed from Ballina over to the University of Galway Connacht GAA Air Dome. And I'd say that was a nice little, I suppose, change for the girls, because, you know, no wind, no rain, none of Storm Isha getting involved with the game, and they were able to go out probably a little bit warmer than it is on a normal football pitch as well. So the girls got to express themselves a little bit.
I'd imagine so, yeah. And they absolutely enjoyed it by the sounds of it too, you know, put up a big score, played some great football and controlled the game from pretty much start to finish, Mickey. They got their goals at timely times. And they defied Maria Cannon's 1-12 for Mayo. You know, she contributed that out of 1-15, which is an unbelievable scoring. But by and large, Meath had more than enough in hand. Emma Duggan wasn't named to start, but she was drafted into the starting 15 in place of Alva Leahy. and contributed 10 points, five from play with five frees and two goals from Maeve Byrne, the Dunshaughlin Royal Gaels player who has made such a habit and knack of getting big goals in big games. Great to see her, I suppose, pushing her way onto the team because she's been in and around the panel for a number of years now, and it's fantastic to see. And then you had, I suppose, you had experience dotted throughout the side, but you also had plenty of youth as well, captained by Monica McGurk as well for the first time. It's worth mentioning what an achievement it is for her to get that, and thoroughly deserved, by the way. But it's just a brilliant, brilliant start for Shane McCormack. I really do think that, and it certainly should be the platform that they need now to push on, because we talked about the uncertainty and the disappointment of last year. I think a result like this early doors lifts all that cloud and that uncertainty that maybe still was lingering to an extent, and now Meath can look forward to some big games to come and hopefully renewed confidence and optimism for the 2024 season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got talking to one of the panelists there a couple of weeks ago, and they were telling me that they are implementing a new style of play as well this year. And that's something that I think everybody has been hoping for, that that a new style of play would come in and that it would be more attacking. Well, from that result, it does look like it's going to be a much more attacking Meath team. But you mentioned that the youth and the experience dotted throughout it and whatever. Player that we know has been coming for the last number of years and we've been expecting to burst onto the scene is Kira Smith. She managed to kick 4 points, which is absolutely brilliant for her. And that should be a settler for Kira now, who's obviously broken into the team and is a starter on this Meath team now.
Yeah, we expect big things from her, you know, and it's great to see her starting to deliver because we know what she's capable of from her performances in a screen jersey and the likes of Nicola Troy there from Boards Mill. Ella Moyles from Dunshaughlin Royal Gaels also making a debut. Marion Farley back on the panel, former Meath minor, a terrific underage player she was. She was actually a physio for the Meath ladies last year. Now she's playing full forward for them. You know, it's brilliant to see. Shelley Mealy is back on the panel, complemented Moira O'Shaughnessy in the midfield. He had a few positional changes as well with Mary-Kate Lynch going to centre-half back, something that we couldn't really envisage because she's normally such a fixture at full back, but you know, a bit of a tweak there with Anya Sheridan going to full back and seemed to work a treat. So overall, a really, really good exercise, fantastic win for Meath, and they can really look forward now and hopefully push on for the remainder of the league.
Yeah, well, they did top score on the weekend in the Ladies National Football League Division 1 with 24 points. Armagh, the closest to them, with 14 points, getting the victory over Waterford, which was interesting as well. Looking at it, Davey, they're top of the pile after their first round of fixtures. And, you know, that would have been one of the games that they would have been looking at saying, if we can get anything out of that, that's a bonus.
Yeah, because they went into the game as underdogs, and probably rightly so, because of what happened last year and obviously the tough away day and that as well. So that's a potential banana skin out of the way straight away, and a tough away day with maximum points in the bag and a good score difference put up to boot, as you say, Mickey. So, like, really now they can look forward. I know they've got a titanic clash in Navan next Sunday, which is likely to shape actually both teams' trajectory for the remainder of the competition. So whilst it's very early days and it's only round two next week, it almost feels like a pivotal weekend at both ends of the table. I know that's crazy to say at this stage, but it does sort of make sense when you look at the contrast and fortunes of Meath and Dublin.
Well, like you mentioned it there, that Meath are playing Dublin next Sunday, the 28th at 2 p.m. in Park Tolchin. You know, looking at, I suppose, both of their results from the weekend, obviously, Meath picking up that brilliant victory against Mayo down in Mayo in the Air Dome, it has to be said, and we have to remind ourselves of that. Kerry, the All-Ireland finalists from last year, beaten by Dublin, got revenge, beaten them by 5 points. So a victory over Dublin would put Dublin in a bit of trouble, but it's not going to be as easy next week. I don't mean that to be patronising against Mayo in any way, shape or form. I mean, conditions will play a massive part in the game next week.
Yeah, Dublin were underwhelming though yesterday, and they've had quite a bit of transition as well since their All-Ireland success in the autumn of last year. And despite the fact Mick Bohan is still there, there is a number of the more household names that have sort of stepped aside, probably very similar in Meath to an extent. So whilst they'll be disappointed, you're quite right in saying that we can expect the backlash from Dublin next weekend. I don't think we'd be naive enough to go into that game expecting anything less than that. So, but at the same time, you'd imagine the confidence that that result will give Meath, with obviously a big crowd there next. There's no reason why there wouldn't be a massive crowd in Navan next Sunday. We know how well supported the home games against Dublin and home games in general have been over the last number of years. And fingers crossed the lads can get a win 24 hours previous, and it could potentially tee up a fantastic weekend all round. So, yeah, let's just hope so. And it would leave us top of the tree 2-2, and it would leave Dublin bottom of the tree 2-2 defeat. So there's a real incentive there for this Meath team, even though it's so early in the season.
And I know getting that victory under the belt, but again, the conditions, Davey, you know, the conditions, the weather conditions will obviously play a part in next week's game, because the weather didn't play any part in their game against Mayo because it was played in that beautiful Aerodrome.
Yeah, we don't know, obviously, what the weather is going to look like next Sunday. It will be in Navan, and regardless of how good or bad the weather will be, you can take it for granted that the game will go ahead in Park Tolton next Sunday, because the pitch won't have any sort of issues with it. So from that perspective, it'll be okay. I get your point. Like, you're not going to be scoring 218 every game in the spring on normal pitches and that too. So I think we probably need to be a bit more realistic there. But at the same time, it's great to see more of an attacking edge to Meath. And that's something that, like, Dublin notoriously have been low scorers. So if Meath can produce that power scoring next Sunday, who's to say Dublin might be able to live with us?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, best of luck to Shane McCormack in their second outing of 2024. Meath against Dublin next Sunday in Park Tolton at 2 p.m. Davey, sticking with the ladies, but this time moving over to the Camogues. They will get their season underway on the 17th of February, I believe, when they will host Cavan, the near neighbours there. An interesting one. Looking at it, Division 2B starts next week, but Division 2A doesn't start for another 2 weeks. And Neely Cole will have to wait until the 17th of February to take on Cavan. Well, I don't know if it's going to be Park Tolton or where. It'll be a home venue anyway for Meath. And Neely Cole getting his first taste of being a Meath Camogie manager.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Obviously, Brendan Skeehan has been there for a number of years, and he's vacated the post. And Neely Cole, who's just an absolutely brilliant hurling man, is going to come in to take the reins for this Meath team. I like the appointment. I think he's had them back for quite a while now, and they've been building steadily towards this with a new look panel as well, Mickey, which I can reveal. Neely's got Gary Cole, his compatriot, in alongside him. Gary, another brilliant hurling man, was still playing as recently as last year, the year before, I think, with Clannagale. So he's going to be his right-hand man. He's also going to have Tom Maloney and Ed O'Riordan. His two strength and conditioning coaches will be two very great hurling men and clubmen of Boards Mill and Trim in Conor Darby and Neely Heffernan. And Georgia O'Halloran will be the FLO, as she always is. There's going to be 11 clubs represented on the Meath Hurling Camogie team for next year, or for this year, rather, I should say. And Maggie Randall is the sole representative from Dunamore Ashburn. Cleo O'Riordan from Drumree, along with Sonia Leonard, make up their representation. Emma Hannafin is there from Trim. Clannagale have Leah Doherty and Roisin Heaney. Maeve Clints and Ellen Burke represent St. Peter's Dunboyne. Navan O'Matney's have two players, including Georgia Kyo and Alana Brady. There's four from Ratolt, including the Gaffney twins, Amy and Louise, Anya McNerney and Emma O'Connell. Five representatives from the Climb Club, including Grace Connolly, Hira Foley, Katie Connolly, Katie Mulcrone and Grace Coleman. There's six players from the Kilmessan club, including Tara Murphy, the goalkeeper, Abby Donnelly, Tracy King, Rachel O'Neill, Ella O'Brien and Aveen Lally. Five from Kiltale, including Sarah Bryan, Michelle Bryan, Olivia O'Halloran, Rachel Moran and Nora Jean Linehan. And from Nafina, there's also six players, Sophia Payne, Claire Coffey, Leah Devine, Emer Fagan, Aoife Carey and Erin Leddy. So that's the panel for Neely Cole for this year. And as you can see, a lot of clubs represented it, and quite a number of potential debuts as well in the works too. So we wish them well.
Yeah, a number of changes on that panel as well to last year. I suppose when you look at what they did last year, Davey, will there be as much expectation this year, having got to a league final and championship final last year?
That's a good question. Because last year's run was unexpected. I don't think there was too much in the way of expectation at the start of last year, and they over-delivered and had a brilliant year in truth. I think you have to be realistic with it to an extent, because Neely's come in on the back of Brendan, been there for probably 4 or 5 years. So it will take time, but with such a good panel, a young panel at his disposal on the back of last year's success, with the coaches and strength and conditioning team that he has in place, it's probably hard not to be optimistic. But I don't think we should be too, we should be putting or heaping too much pressure on them either, Mickey. But I'll watch this team with interest. I think they definitely have potential.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Davey, on the Camogie end of things, still there. They had their AGM recently, and you have all of the elected officers.
Yeah, Mickey. So there was quite a bit of change from last year's committee, including the chairperson's position. Michael Butler vacated that, along with his outgoing committee, and the new chairperson will be Katie Mullen from the Killine Club. The vice chair will be a good friend of the podcast, Kieran Devaney from Blackall Gaels. Secretary will be Ellie Payne from Nafina, and the Vice Secretary will be Caroline Ging from Killine. The Treasurer position is yet to be filled, and the Vice Treasurer position will be the Nafina stalwart, Mrs. Anne Coffey. The Leinster delegates will be Mary Fox from Navan O'Matney's and Etty Phillip from Drumree. The Registrar will be Caroline Butler from Dunmore Ashburn. The PRO position is yet to be filled, but the Vice PRO is Kieran Devaney, also from Blackall Gaels. Kieran is putting himself in a perilous position there, down as Vice PRO with the PRO position yet to be filled. He's done a fantastic job over the years, so we'll watch that one with interest. The Children's Officer will be Carmel O'Reilly, and the Development Officer will be Linda Levy from Trim. So that is your Meath Camogie Executive Committee for 2024. And we wish them all well too, Mickey.
Yeah, 100%. Wishing them all the very best in 2024. Sticking with the sticks, Davey, and moving over to the men. The Hurlers were to take on Wicklow this weekend, just gone by. And it was forfeited by Wicklow. So Meath get the points in that one. So next up for them in the Keogh Cup is a trip to Hawkfield, Centre of Excellence in Kildare, next Saturday, where they'll take on Kildare in that next game.
Yeah, an opportunity for Saoirse to rotate his squad. Like he said on our Loyal Rails podcast last week, he has a number of players that he wants to get game time into. The likes of Ethan Devine, James Toher, James Murray, Shawnee Geraghty, all yet to really feature for Meath yet in a competitive sense. So he'll probably want to use that as a chance. This will be the last opportunity that he has to do that before the start of the National League, which comes, if I'm not mistaken, a week, if not two, max afterwards. I think it's only the week after, to be honest with you. I think Meath are playing on the Sunday. Could be mistaken on that, but it's one last chance for him to get game time into players. He would have been probably disappointed with the game against Wicklow not going ahead, even though the weather forecast probably wouldn't have seen the game happen in any such case. So it is what it is. One more chance for them, and a tough game away to Kildare will certainly test that squad.
Yeah, I'd say Saoirse is a little bit disappointed that they didn't get that game against Wicklow, because you know, with so many players that he needs to see at the moment, this is a very new look Meath hurling team, and he would have liked that extra game.
He would have, yeah. Not only was it a winnable game, Mickey, but as we said already, it was an opportunity to just get game time in, and it's probably one of those where when you sit down at the start of the year and you plan out things, you can see that you have three preseason games, and you can early map out, probably get a fall through like that. It's probably disappointing. But listen, these things happen particularly early in the season, so they'll just have to dust themselves down and go again. It'd be great to get a result just to get to build a bit of confidence before the start of the league. We know there's no relegation in the league, so the pressure is off to an extent when they do go into that. But at the same time, with such a serious and high level crossover of teams in the league and championship, they'll want to put up a decent showing, because the Joe McDonagh is ultimately where they're going to be judged on this year.
Yeah, well, their first game in the Allianz League Division 2A will be on the 4th of February, and the week after that game against Kildare. And guess who it's against, Davey? It's against Kildare, and it's at home. So you never know. That game against Kildare next weekend might not go ahead. I don't think Kildare would want to be showing their hand the week before the Allianz League starts.
No, it's one of those, isn't it? It's a tricky one. At the same time, you have to play someone, don't you? So we'll just see about that. Yeah, it's not ideal. I hate when things like that happen now. It's not a nice position to be in at all.
No, absolutely not. So anyway, we wish Shorts the best of luck if that game goes ahead in Kildare, in Hawkfield, Centre of Excellence, next Saturday. And then, of course, throughout a week later against Kildare, once again in a home venue in the Allianz League Division 2A. So best of luck to Shorsha and the lads.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
So Davey, I suppose finally on a county, on the county end of things, Meath senior footballers will get their Allianz Football League underway next Saturday, or this Saturday coming, at 2:30 p.m. in Park Tolchin, when they will play host to Fermanagh. Davey, look, one of the things that I'm looking forward to next Saturday is going to be our match day diary. And, you know, it's something that we really, really enjoy these days, and our supporters and listeners are getting involved as well. And we want to encourage more of that. And we will be obviously putting it out on our Loyal Royals podcast next week. But as well, just to let our listeners know, on our Loyal Royals podcast this week, just while I'm on the subject, we will be doing report cards. This is a new one. We're going to be doing report cards for all the teams that are in Junior B and all the teams that are in Junior A ahead of the 2024 season kicking off. We'll be looking at last year's results. We'll be looking at where they finished league, championship, and giving an appraisal of each team on what they can improve on and where they can study a little bit more and stuff like that. So it's good. We're kind of calling it report cards. And that's another couple of podcasts that we're really looking forward to as well, Davey.
Yeah, I remember getting my report card back in the day, Mickey, and it seemed to go between excellent, fair needs to do better. I never had an excellent now, but that's the way we'll be breaking up the teams. I think we're going to score them out of 10 for the performance on the year last year. That'll cover the cup, the league and the championship. So it'll be an interesting one, and I think we're going to get stuck into Junior A and Junior B next week. So looking forward to those.
Yeah. And our match day diary from the Fermanagh game as well. Another one that we're looking forward to, Davey. Do you know what? We normally do a preview over on our Loyal Royals podcast for the Meath games. I think this week what we'll do is we'll throw it in to the We Are Meath podcast instead of putting it into the Loyal Royals. It's 2:30 throw-in. It's in Park Colchin on Saturday. And, you know, this is a, like, we could turn around and say this is a huge game in the grand scheme of things. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not. But for the progression of this team, you know, making sure that they get a victory over a side like Fermanagh is huge for in that respect.
I think it's a must-win game. And people might short game of the league, it's a must-win game because it's Fermanagh at home. So I don't think the fact it's our first game changes anything in any way, shape or form, Mickey. It's a massive game. And on paper, it's one that we need to win and one that we should be winning. When you look at how competitive Division 2 is and the games that we have to come after Fermanagh, I think it's paramount that we get a result and open up with a win, get confidence up. And on the back, you know, we have a tough away game then the week after away to Armagh on the Saturday night. So getting a win, getting a morale boost and performance and 2 points on the board, I think is crucial really for me next Saturday. It's the opening game of the National Football Leagues in general, actually. It's the first game that will be played. So there'll be a lot of attention and focus on it next Saturday afternoon. And on the back of the crowds that we've seen in the O'Byrne Cup, there's a lot of interest and positivity about the Meath team at the moment. So Park Tolton is likely to generate a big crowd next Saturday afternoon. And we just hope that Meath can deliver a performance and a result to satisfy everybody's needs and wants, I suppose, next week.
Yeah, like to preview the game a little bit, let's talk a little bit about the team. You know, we were kind of looking at trying to pick a team, and this is the team that you think might line out against Fermanagh, judging on what we can so far this year. You reckon Sean Brendan goals, Donal Keoghan, Adam O'Neill and Michael Murphy making up the full back line, Sean Coffey, Ronan Jones and Kieran Caulfield in the half back line, Cathal Hickey and Jack Flynn in the middle of the field, Dahi McGowan, Owen Frayne and Rory Kinsella in the half forward line, Aaron Lynch, Matthew Costello and Shane Walsh in the full forward line. An awful lot of household names missing from that 15 as well, Davey.
There are, yeah. There's a number of players that are injured and players yet to kind of return to the panel. The standouts are Ronan Ryan, Jason Scully, and probably Jordy Morris, along with Pádraig Carnan. Those are four that just aren't right at the moment. Ronan Ryan probably will miss the most of the league. Jordy Morris will be out for another while. Pádraig Carnan has been kind of slow to come back, but he will be back. And Jason Scully has had two groin surgeries, I believe, before Christmas, so he'll be out for a while. So what that means in a nutshell is you've probably got a few problem positions. The sixth one is one that stands out, and Ronan Jones is the captain, so I think Ronan Jones is going to play. This is my thinking with it anyway. And I know Darragh Campion, I believe, played well against Galway in that challenge match. I wasn't there to see it, but he could well play at centre half back. But I think from what Colin has been doing in the O'Byrne Cup, we've seen Cathal Hickey line out in midfield twice. I think he could potentially do that again. The goalkeeping one, to me, is a complete minefield. It could be any of the three. Genuinely, it could be either the Hogans or Sean Brennan. I would just side with Sean Brennan because I think possession is 9/10 of the law, and I think he's done nothing to relinquish that jersey. So that's the only reason I'd be picking him there. The one line which I picked that sort of stands out is the half forward line. It's so youthful. Like when you see Dahi McGowan being the elder statesman in there, and he's what, 22 years of age, along with two rookies in Owen Frayne and Rory Kinsella. That's one that might need tweaking or looking at, because there's nothing but excitement about that full forward line, Mickey. Aaron Lynch, Matthew Costello and Shane Walsh. And I've been probably harsh in leaving out Dermot Moriarty, who got a goal in four against Longford from play the last day. Wouldn't be at all surprised if he plays, but when push comes to shove, I think they're probably our six form forwards at the moment. But it's a very, very difficult Meath team to pick at the moment, which which is good, by the way.
Yeah. What about injuries, Conor Gray? Campo, we've already spoken about. Floody as well. Michael Flood, you know, another player that we'd be kind of thinking maybe. Harry Huggins?
Yeah, you're right. I think it's a toss-up between Michael Flood and Michael Murphy for the number four jersey or for the cornerback spot. I really do. I think Kyogan and Adam O'Neill will pick themselves, and I think it's between Flood and Murphy for that last position in the full back line. Dara Campion, as we said, could easily line out at six, and that would see Ronan Jones going to midfield and a rejig there with Hickey and Flynn. Moriarty, we've sort of spoken about already. There was one more which you mentioned too.
I threw in Harry O'Higgins. I think he's injured as well, isn't he?
He's injured. Like Jack O'Connor.
Jack O'Connor. That was my next one. Jack O'Connor was the next one.
But like these are the options, and you've got Jordy Morris out injured. Conor Gray, sorry, you touched on Mickey. Conor Gray's nursing a hamstring injury. If Conor Gray's fit, he plays. I think that's, but we're going on the proviso that he's injured and he won't. So if Conor Gray is fit, he'll obviously start. And the other injury concern, I believe, could be Aaron Lynch. I think he came off early last week in the Sigerson Cup. So did Dermot Moriarty, by the way. So there's possibly question marks over those two. We hope that both will make it, because either which way, regardless of who starts, you know, there's probably 20 lads who you could say that will feature now. Like Jack O'Connor's one that definitely will feature. Lynchy will feature, Moriarty will feature regardless of if he starts or not, Hickey, fellas like that. It's just a question of whether or not they start or not.
And then we'll say the players that came in onto the team last week and new players in on the panel this year. I know Keith Curtis is not new, but he had a barnstorming championship and Leinster championship, obviously he's in around the team. Dara Rowe, another player who's come on and played last week against Longford and stuff like that. Do we see any of these guys maybe breaking into the starting 15 or even breaking into the panel? Because, it is going to be a 26-day panel.
I was just going to say, whatever about the starting 15, that 26 is going to take a bit of breaking into for some, you know, as well. I think that's an achievement in itself, the way things are at the moment. And that's bearing in mind that we have four or five fellas that are out at the moment too. I think realistically, for the likes of Keith and probably Dara Rowe and Cathal Finnegan maybe as well, the 26 is maybe a more realistic target. I could be completely off of that. You wouldn't be surprised if Colm threw a curveball and threw one of them in to start, but I would expect those guys to be pushing for inclusion on the 26, not the 15.
Does he go, like, when we look at the Fermanagh side, you know, there's going to be no curveballs with the Fermanagh side. We know the Fermanagh side. It's been Fermanagh side for the last number of years. You know, you're going to have the Cullens, the fist bump Cullens in the full back line. You're going to have Cassidy McGullion. Cian McManus, a good young footballer as well, will be playing wing back. Jones and Horn, Largo Ellis, like these are all definitely going to be playing. They were playing last week. Alton Kelm is a player that needs to be watched. Aidan Breen, Declan McCusker, these all played last week against Monaghan in the McKenna Cup. And in fact, they ran Monaghan very, very tight towards the end. And it was only towards the end of that game that Monaghan were able to shake them off a little bit. I think they only ended up winning the game by a point in the end, which was, which shows what we're dealing with Fermanagh. They're going to be sticky. They're going to be plucky. They're going to be tough opponents. And they're going to be giving it their all, like.
Yeah, and they'll be really well set up as well. They're going to come to Navan with a plan in place, and they're going to try and frustrate Meath and pick their moments. And Meath will have to be patient at times. It probably won't be open. It mightn't be pretty, but it's all about just sticking with it and getting the result, really. But you're right, they are backbone by loads of experienced players like the Cullens and Ryan Jones. Declan McCusker's been around for a number of years. We know that Sean Quigley's not going to be part of the panel this year. The one thing that I do think, and just from looking through the couple of games that we've done, Mickey, and you'd be a lot closer to it being in Ulster than I would, but they seem to lack, do they, a kind of marksman, really? Like, have three or four, you know, good scoring players. Fermanagh seem to rely on getting scores from everywhere, and they don't seem to have too many players that are going to kick 5 or 6 points a game, really.
Well, Alton Kelm is that player, and if he's let play, like Monaghan would have crowded out the defence against Fermanagh, and they wouldn't have given him any room at all. Last year, in the last league game, Allianz League game of Division 3, Cavan played Fermanagh. They knew that they were going to be in the final, and they played a strong enough team against Fermanagh, and Alton Kelm absolutely destroyed them that day. Now, they sewed him up in the final, and they got the victory over Fermanagh. But that was a huge part of it. He's got a soccer background and only came into the Fermanagh side in the last number of years. But he's a fabulous player. I think it could have been even last year that he came in. But he's a player that's going to have to be watched. Fantastic, fantastic footballer. After that, you know, Josh Largo Ellis is a real worker. He takes frees as well. Ryan Jones in around the middle of the field. But it really is Alton Kelm that is their main score getter.
Sounds like a job for a certain Donal Keoghan, doesn't it?
I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know if he'd have the pace for Alton Kelm. Alton Kelm, he is an absolute rocket. So whoever marks him is going to have their hands full, that is for sure.
Is he an orthodox corner forward then, is he?
He's strong, but he's so fast. And he's so agile and he's so accurate. I think like Cavan last year put their best man marker on him in the final, and that was enough to see it out. And obviously, Cavan play with a lot of players dropping back into the defence. So it'll be interesting to see how many, like if he's given space and time, Alton Kelm will do damage. So that's something that, like looking at it, what's the full back line you named?
I'd say Keoghan, O'Neill and Murphy.
Maybe Adam O'Neill would be the man to take him.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Adam O'Neill might lack a yard. I would sooner Keoghan. I think Keoghan's probably still our best man marker.
I'd be worried about him if they gave him space and he allowed Alton Kelm space to run, because I'm not messing, this guy's a rocket. You'll see it on Saturday. But that's a conundrum for Colm and the lads to try and figure out. If they can swarm that area and stop the supply, that's always the big thing, isn't it? Stop the supply into that player, into that marksman, and you've gone a long way to stopping them. But yeah, I like what I'm saying to you as well about this from Anna's side. We know what we're getting. Colm knows what they're getting, and if they have to be fully prepared for this from Anna's side, because it's not like there's going to be a curveball.
No, they'll know exactly what they're in store for, which is good. And I don't see complacency being an issue. I don't think we're in a position to be complacent. But you'd like to think that by large home support, first round of the league, things are good coming off the back of last year's success in the Tailteann Cup. This is a very winnable game for me, then one that we really should win, and hopefully put up a decent performance and a good score to boot, to give ourselves some real confidence going up north then the following week to Armagh. And it does get tougher after that. There's no point in saying otherwise. But at the same time, we have four home games, which to me are all very winnable games by the way, Mickey, in Fermanagh, Louth, Kildare and Cork. They're all games that we have to be targeting wins in. And okay, you've got two really tough games on the road in Armagh and Donegal, and Cavan, with our record up there, has never been an easy game. So that'll be tough too. But I just think the whole direction of our league will centre on what happens next Saturday afternoon in Navan.
As well as that, when we look at the actual league, Cork, Armagh, Meath, Cavan, Louth, Kildare and Fermanagh, you know, the two teams that you would be looking at straight away that, you know, would say by history or by whatever results recently and all that, you'd be looking and saying that Fermanagh and Louth should be the two teams that get relegated. So you don't want to be given someone like Fermanagh hope after the very first week, because they're only a win and a draw then away from safety.
Yeah, that's it. And Fermanagh, I've only had the mispleasure of being in Brewster Park once or twice in my life, thankfully. But it's a horrible, horrible place to go and try and get a result. They're really, really strong in their own patch. And regardless of who goes there, who has the unfortunate of going there, they'll really struggle. So by giving Fermanagh results in away from home, that just gives them oxygen for the remainder of the competition. But they aren't great travellers. That's one thing that I remember in years gone by when they've come to Nav and they've nearly come and kind of rolled over against Meath in certain occasions. So I think if Meath can get on top early and get a good start, they should go on to score, hopefully.
Yeah, Brewster Park is it's an odd one. It's lovely stands and all that, but it's a club pitch. It's a very boggy pitch. So at this time of the year, it's so soft. And it's a very narrow pitch. And it's not that long either. So it makes it a very, very hostile environment for visiting teams, because Fermanagh know, right, well, we can narrow this pitch even more. We can clog up areas and stop them from getting scores on the board, turn them over and turn it into a counter-attack straight away. Park Dalton's a much bigger pitch than that. They are going to find it difficult. We'll say if they do isolate Ulton Kelm, by the time the ball gets to him, and if he has to come out from goal to get his hands on ball, he's a distance away from the goals, you know, that kind of way, because Park Dalton is such a big, big field. That's something that Meath are going to have to exploit, is the fact that it is a home game. And what Meath need to do is make home games, you know, like make Park Dalton a fortress again, because we do have the All-Ireland Championship coming up and we will have a home game in Navan. And if we can, you know, get wins on the board, get four home wins on the board, or no losses at least, it becomes a little bit of a fortress before the All-Ireland Championship.
And I think that's realistic. And I think that's progress in itself. You know, you're talking about baby steps and what we can set ourselves as realistic goals and ambitions for the year. That is one, you know, try and stay unbeaten at home for the duration of the league and give yourself a bit of confidence. Then when you do go into the All-Ireland and you have a big hitter coming to town. So 100%, and whatever we pick up on the road, I would see as a bonus. I think the Cavan game is obviously a very winnable one for Meath. The other two are probably more difficult ones, absolutely on paper, but let's get off to a winning start next week and look forward then, because I wouldn't be taking my eye off the ball for next Saturday, first and foremost. It's a nice game to have opening, but it's only a nice game if you go and win and justify that.
Pre-season-wise, Davey, when we look at it, you know, we looked at that game against Louth and we were over the moon. And obviously, the pre-season college competitions and stuff affected the next game against Longford. Meath organised a challenge for the Saturday against Galway, and we saw a completely new look Meath team taking the field against Longford, which we didn't think we were going to see happening this year at all, because we nearly know that Colm knows himself that he's got the nucleus of, he's got the spine of his team picked, and that players are just going to fit in around that. That's a nice position to be in.
It is, but then at the same time, we know that we have three or four injuries, which makes it a bit more difficult to slot fellas in and out. I think ideally he'd love to have his Tailteann Cup winning team from last year at his disposal and let competition for places begin.
How many are missing off that?
From a start, you're missing Pádraig Carnan anyway.
Ronan Ryan. Yeah, Ronan Ryan, Harry O'Higgins, Pádraig Carnan. Conor Gray, James McEntee,
and Jordy Morris.
Jordy Morris as well. Yes, yeah, so you're missing six or seven CR from that.
Which isn't ideal, but at the same time, when you look through the substitutes bench, which featured in that game or featured in that run to the Tailteann Cup final, you are heartened, and then you've got fellas who have come in this year and done really well too. So, I think that Longford game, okay, we didn't get a result, but it showcased that we do have options now, and we do have a panel that we can use. And like we said, 3 or 4 years ago, we mightn't have been in such a position to say that. So whilst there are players to come back, I think we have a good enough squad to compete with what we have at the moment.
Just on that Longford game, Davey, I suppose, you know, one of the positives, look, the main positive is that how competitive they were. But if you were to take, we'll say that was, again, I don't like saying it, but we'll say that was our second team. And it showed how good our second team is, that if any one of them were teleported straight into the first team, that they're not miles off the first team, and that they'll, you know, being surrounded by all the best players in the county, they should even excel further.
Well, they've got a taste for what it's about, yeah, and the step up that's required to play inter-county football. So absolutely, it's not going to be as alien for them if they are called upon, which I think was evident to see. You know, there were definitely players who probably struggled, but there were also players who rose to the occasion as well. So it's funny. I think Colm said it in his post-match reflections that they've given opportunities. Lads can play themselves out of the team, or they can play themselves into the team as well. And you have to learn by playing in these games too. So, and not to forget, there's a few under 20 players as well. Like, you've got Jack Kinlock on the panel. He's an under 20 player, and you've got Brian O'Halloran, who's an under 20 player. Both of those have already featured for the Meath seniors and will be key men for the under 20s. And we may expect to see them at some stage during the year too. But for the moment, I'd imagine they'll be more concerned about the under 20s. So, but again, good to see those players kind of rearing their heads and showing that they're capable of stepping up if needed.
Davey, on the Galway challenge, obviously we didn't see it or whatever. Meath lost 15 points to 11. I think it was a 4-point game in the end. Where was that game played?
It was in Park Salton.
Oh, it was in Park Salton. Mm. Okay. And how strong was the Galway side that we...
It was really strong. They brought on Paul Conroy and Shane Walsh at halftime. They were kind of two of the players that they held in reserve. But everyone else was of first-team pedigree. Meade led by a point at halftime and led actually midway through the second half, but just fell away towards the end and can be pretty pleased with what they produced. I think Aaron Lynch, Shane Walsh in particular, stood out in a forward capacity for Meath. They were very good in terms of scoring. And as we know, Campo excelled at centre-half back as well. I think Harry Hogan actually played in goals in that game, for what it's worth as well. We don't know. We have no idea. That's probably the one position where I'd be least confident in making a claim as to who might play there on Saturday. Wouldn't have an absolute iota, to be honest.
Okay, final question or part of the preview of the Meath game. Can you see Colm going left of field with anything now for this game?
The only thing I could see left of field, if you could even call it that, is probably Jonesy at 6 and Hickey at 8. I think people would still be surprised to maybe see that, even though he's done that already. But other than that, no, I don't think so. I think he'll go tried and tested, and he'll go with what he believes is his best team at this moment in time. I don't foresee him doing something crazy, but who's to say, Mickey?
Well, like I do think that we'll see either Jonesy or Campo at centre back, because not that we're missing players or anything, but it will suit either of those players against Fermanagh. Because Fermanagh are going to drop an awful lot of players back. They're going to try and make it difficult for Meath. So to have a ball playing centre-half back, it'll basically be a quarterback. He'll have a free roll because they'll be dropping players back, you know, all the time. Yeah. When Meath get possession of the ball, he will be playing out around the middle of the field. The ball will be, you know, recycled back to him. And to have either Jones or Campo playing in that position, I think will be absolutely perfect for that game, because again, horses for courses, it mightn't work in another game against Cork or something like that, who'll go 15 on 15. I don't know if that'd work, but to have somebody of that ball playing ability at 6 playing the quarterback role that can pick out a pass as Fermanagh will say, kind of drift out following the ball, to pick a pass over the top, to have either of those players there, I think would be a huge asset.
I think it will be one of the two, because that's what he's trialed out in the absence of Harnan. And I think I think the likelihood is Keoghan is going to be in the full back line now. So it is going to be probably one of the two.
Have you kind of put Keoghan back in the full back line because of Alton Kelm, or is that like...
No, I think that's where he'll play this year, to be honest.
But not in the corner, surely not in the corner.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I could see him at fullback, but cornerback is such a specified position. You know, it's a...
No, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see anyway. As we said, do get in contact with us. Follow our social media for the match day diary for the Fermanagh game in Park Touch next Saturday. Do send us on your voice notes and we will include them in the match day diary. It's a podcast that we really enjoy doing. And in a few weeks' time, we're going to have the best one of the lot when Cavan take on Meath in Breffni Park. You know, we're going to do a combined match day diary where we'll be getting the thoughts of the Cavan lads and the thoughts of myself and Davey as well. I don't know what way I'm going to go that day, Davey. Obviously, you know, I'll be up for Meath and whatever, but like, I have to try and go on the radio for Northern Sound and be unbiased.
You can't lose, Mickey. That's the way I'd look at it. A draw is a good result for you in that game.
we'll jump that hurdle when we come to it. But yeah, do get in contact with us for the matchday diary against Fermanagh next Saturday.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Moving on then, Davey, and the next part of the podcast is, of course, our GAA predictions, and we will have the We Are Meath League once again this year. This is the little club fundraiser that yourselves out there in Cortown, you host this every year, and it's a brilliant, brilliant competition. It's all based on the Alliance Football League.
It is, Mickey, and we have our own We Are Meath League because we really enjoy bringing you the league table every Sunday night after each round of fixtures, and this year we've once again provided a prize for the We Are Meath League out in Cortland. So the winner after seven rounds of action is going to receive an O'Neill's jersey of their choice. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a Meath jersey, they can have what they like, and we'll be giving that to the winner after 7 weeks. It's very easy to play. You go to gapredictions.com and you literally pen in your predictions for Division 1, 2, 3 and 4. It's done on a point system. You get extra points, obviously, for a draw. And if you nail a draw, it obviously goes a long way to not just doing well in the We Are Meath League, but going and topping the overall standings for each week. We have 200 Durham prize money each week, 1,400 altogether across the whole competition. Seven rounds available for a special prize of €20. You have until 2:30 on Saturday to play. The closing date or closing time is, of course, the start of the Meath and Fermanagh game, because that's the first game of the weekend next weekend. So GAPredictions.com to get them in before 2:30 on Saturday. And when you pen in your predictions, do not forget, on the league option, click We Are Meath. That's on the drop-down menu. Couldn't be easier. You just select We Are Meath and submit it, and you're automatically included in our league. And we'll update that every week after that. So really good crack. There's a decent crowd of people already have joined the We Are Meath League, Mickey. You're waiting until the last to get your predictions in, as you tend to do. Not that it usually counts for much, but listen, good luck to you.
Enjoy
the studying this week.
Just remember last year. Just remember last year, all right?
You finish ahead of me last year?
Oh, I finished ahead of you on PS tapes. Don't you worry about that. I finished well ahead of you. So I did. But it is brilliant. How much is the prize money every week, Davey?
It's €200 guaranteed every week and 1,400 across the competition. €100 first prize, basically. And if there's more than one person tied on the same points, it's €100 each, or we do second, third and fourth thereafter.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So get involved with that one. And don't forget to hit the drop down and go in and join the We Are Meath League for a chance to win an O'Neill's jersey of your choice towards the end of the year. Davey, time for our lotto segment. Now, I know you forward the ball on to me. Does that mean you want me to do them, or can you do them?
I could just about do them. I'm in the dark here, Mickey, out in Bormeen, and I've got 5% left on my phone. So if I do lose them, just have them somewhere close to you that you can run through them. But I'll start with Menalty, and their results from last Sunday night. They had a €5,800 jackpot. The numbers were 8, 17, 19 and 20. And would you believe it, they were matched by Rian Donlan, who wins €5,800. Congratulations to Rian. And the next draw takes place tonight, somehow out of Menalty, and it's worth €2,000. The next one up is Walterstown, also from last Sunday night. Their numbers were 10, 15, 20 and 27. There was no jackpot winner of their €10,000 jackpot. They did have six match three winners, though, who were
Orazio
Bort, Mike Chambers, Margaret Donlan, Martin Cavlin, Leanne O'Neill, and Niamh Molyneux. They share €100 between them, so they get about £650 each, basically. I know, I think they get about £15 each, something like that. And anyway, you can play their jackpot again. They go again tonight. They've got €10,000 you can play online via Club Force. Envelopes are also available in Curran's Garage on the Dublin Road, or in O'Brien's restaurant in Johnstown, or in the club bar. Menalty from Monday night, 15th of January, 2, 15, 24 and 28. No jackpot winner. Three 20-year winners were Barry Magan, Harry Donovan and Mick Delahunt. The next draw is Monday night and it's worth €6,400 at menalvygfc.ie or on the Club Force app. Drumbarra from last week, 2, 20, 24 and 27, €4,800, not one. 30-year winners were the Doody Gang. must be like a dads and lads group. Joe Carey, Barry Monaghan, Noli Carey and John Tevlin. Kilmainham, their neighbours from last Monday night, the 15th of January. No winner of theirs. 1, 5, 19 and 26, their numbers. Jackpot at €10,700, which is nicely moving on. Lucky dip winners, each receiving €20, were Miriam Byrne, Anne Caffrey, Ina Neimer Walsh, Cara Morgan and Nicole Fagan. Next up is Dunamore Ashburn, I think, and they had a €9,000 jackpot last week, which was not won. €8,900, beg your pardon. Numbers were 9, 12, 23 and 27, and they go again with their jackpot tonight. They've got €9,000 and you can play that one on Club Force.
So, Davey, I think your phone, the battery's after going on, of course, the electricity's out there in Cortown, but we're lucky to have you on the laptop with a little bit of battery left. Oh, my laptop is nearly gone here as well. I've got a couple of the results left to go through, and then we'll go back to you for Cortown's. We'll save the best to last. So Blackhall Gael's lotto results from the 15th of January. Numbers drawn were 3, 9, 18 and 28. Jackpot was 10,000. There was no winners. The 30-year-old lucky dip winners were Rosanna Kerwin, Dunica Tobin, David Ferris, Kira Agaswala, Jesus Christ, M and P Clark. For the seller's prize. Then Castletown's lotto on the 17th of January, jackpot was 7,000. There was no jackpot winner. The numbers drawn were 2, 5, 10 and 26. The lucky dip winners were Catherine Hoy, Agnes Duffy, Molly McMahon, Harley Duffy and Johnny Ginnity. And then I have two more left to do, the usual ones. I think I'm missing one as well, actually. The Simonson's lotto, we'll come back to that in a moment. Kilmaine and Woods lotto. The results from Monday the 15th, numbers drawn were 2, 8, 13 and 14. There was no jackpot winner. The five lucky dip winners, each receiving...
Kilmainham's done.
Oh, you have Kilmainham's done, do you? Kilmainham Wood?
Yeah, it's just... Oh, sorry. I thought it was Kilmainham. Yeah.
No, Kilmainham Wood. Five lucky dip winners are each receiving €20. John Campbell, Roisin Malone, Jennifer Sheridan, Tygan Adrie, BLBE... and Rachel Carlin. So they're all trying to catch us out this week with their results. And the final result that I have is from Sentences Lotto last week, the 15th of January. The numbers drawn were 1, 17, 20 and 24. There was no jackpot winner of €6,800. Five €25 winners were Rita Sheridan, Sive Monaghan, Roland Lyons, Tony Oakes and Brian Clark. Next week's jackpot is €6,900. I'm going to leave that one in, Davey. I'm not even going to edit that one where you tried to jump in it there. That's how how live this podcast is this week. It's just the things we go through.
I'm nearly sure you said Kilmainham, but you obviously added in a wood at the end. So sorry about that, Mickey.
Yeah, no, there was a wood in there, so there was definitely. But it's just one of those weeks, isn't it, where the weather, this storm Isha is playing havoc with the whole thing.
It is. And on the Cortown front, I can't even give you the 520 euros because I don't have them in front of me. But I do know that we had a 17,600 euro jackpot on Friday night, which wasn't won. And that means that we will have a 17,700 euro jackpot next Friday night. We'll also have a 100 euro voucher for the Vanilla Pod and 520 euros if it's not won. CortownGA.com/lotto to play that one.
Brilliant stuff, brilliant stuff. And before we go on to our Instagram interactive, Davey, just again, a reminder for our listeners that this week we're going to be doing the report cards for Junior B championship teams for 2024 and the Junior A teams for 2024, including the team that would have been relegated to either of those divisions, and talk about them. They should probably be getting the worst report cards of all the teams that are involved. So that is going to be two podcasts we're going to be doing this week that we want, like, for you all to have a listen into. It's to get them all done in ahead of the club cup competitions, which will be starting back towards the end of February, I believe, Davey.
Yeah, third week in February, Mickey. And I think the draws for those ones are to happen very soon too. So very much looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Time to move on now to our Instagram talking points. I've only got a few of them, Davey, because obviously with the Gremlins and the Storm Isha and the whole lot. So the first one we have in from Porrick Stephen, I think it is, or Stevens. Under 19 being played in February instead of minor, Davey.
Yeah, I think the minor spring leagues, Mickey, aren't going to be played, and it's going to be the under-19s played, which is a bit of a change. That's going off the planner, which I believe is up for discussion tomorrow night, Monday. The clubs have had a chance to dissect the county calendar, and I think that will be brought forward to tomorrow night. So, listen, that's not exactly set in stone yet. That's what is being proposed. Probably not ideal for some underage players who can play under-19s then, I'm not quite sure. But I think the thought process is with the county board is that they want to try and get that competition played earlier than it was in recent years. So the under-19s to be played in spring this year, potentially.
Yeah, potentially. With the weather that's coming over the next few weeks, there'll be no chance to get it played, and you definitely wouldn't get a regional championship played at this time of the year with all the storms and snow and everything that's coming. Next one up, Davey.
Are we getting snow, Mickey?
Yeah, the snow and everything on the way. Did you not
hear that? Jesus, unreal. No, yeah, you must be a weatherman as well. You're many, many talents.
Davey, I know everything. Davey, I know everything. And
Bow parachutes. Come on,
and come here. When the snow comes, you'll be thinking, Jesus, Mickey was right. Next up, Sean Girk, and he wants to know, going back to our earlier discussion, any dates for the cup draws, the club cup draws?
Yeah, so it's to do with affiliations and the makeup of the grades. And I know people think, well, what's there to change? There is a Junior A and Junior B is subject to change. That should become a lot clearer in the next week. So the cup competitions, and I believe the draw should be take a place before the end of January. So you should know at the start of February who you're playing. Provisionally, I think your first game is going to be the 21st or 22nd of February that weekend.
Weather permitting, Davey.
Yes.
Brilliant stuff. Next up is Robert Perfield, great listener to the podcast. Hopefully all the wind will be used up today and we've a calm league weather-wise. Robert, I don't think so. But anyways, David.
Rob, will you please stop giving Mickey your phone? Please.
I don't know what rock you live under during January, February, and March, David.
But geez, it's been absolutely fine up to now. One storm, one night. Every club in the county is on a pitch at the minute. And if you're not, your pitches stink, so...
You obviously know the teams that aren't on the field at the minute. That's where you're getting that dig in. Brian Flynn was in contact with us as well. Are you going to try pick a team for Fermanagh? Well, we did do, didn't we, Davey? We'll run through it once more because we just, I suppose, we'll for our listeners, this is what Davey came up with, and without even asking me for any of my esteemed knowledge. Sean Brennan in goals. This is Davey's team. Donald Keoghan, Adam O'Neill and Michael Murphy. Sean Coffey, Ronan Jones and Kieran Caulfield. Midfield of Carl Hickey and Jack Flynn. That's what we call them, calling them Carl Flicky, that pair in the middle of the field. Dolly McGowan, Owen Frayne and Rory Kinsella. And then a full forward line of Aaron Lynch, Matthew Costello and Shane Walsh. And that's all injury permitting, I suppose, because there are a couple of injury concerns, Dave.
Yeah, with the likes of Conor Graham, we know there's a bit of a worry around Aaron Lynch and stuff too. Yeah. So that's just based off, it's not exactly what I'd have as my 15, but it's just you're trying to get yourself
into what's available.
Yeah, and that too.
Yeah. What's available and whatever. And I suppose that's all of our Instagram talking points for this week, Davey. I'm sure it'll be packed full of them next week after Meath's first game next weekend. And of course, the hurlers will be out as well, and Hawkfield, hopefully against Kildare. But yeah, big week coming up for Meath, with the hurlers and with the footballers, and of course with the ladies out all next weekend.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Can't wait. Hopefully a nice double in Navan on Saturday and Sunday. It'd be absolutely brilliant to get up and running in the men's, and for the ladies to keep their 100% record intact. And for anybody around, get into support both teams Saturday and Sunday, and give them all your support, because they will definitely need it as well.
Yeah, best luck to Shane McCormick and the Meath ladies out on Sunday, as Davey said, 2 p.m. in Park Tolchin. And to the Meath team, they'll be taking on Fermanagh 2:30 on Saturday in Park Tolchin. It's 2 days in a row in Park Tolchin. And of course, the hurlers are supposed to be out on Saturday in Hawkfield, Centre of Excellence in Kildare. And we want to wish Colm, Shane McCormack and Saoirse Bull for the very best luck next weekend. And it will be Needy Toll and the Meath Camogues out on the 17th of February. They're getting an extended winter break. So best luck to all the teams in the coming season. Look, that's it for this episode of the We Are Meath podcast. Remember, We Are Meath. Bye.